Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In our Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 27, we heard the following words spoken by Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. He said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, why did Jesus speak those words? Did Jesus doubt that his Father still loved him? Did Jesus doubt that he would rise from the dead? No. Jesus knew that his Father still loved him. Jesus knew that he would rise from the dead on the third day, just as he had foretold. But then, why did Jesus cry out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, pay close attention throughout this sermon, because I will use God's word to answer that question. Today, as I mentioned earlier, I continue my six-part sermon series entitled Psalms of the Savior. And today's sermon is based on Psalm 22, a psalm written by King David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. However, there's something you need to understand about this psalm. Even though Psalm 22 does apply to King David in his life, it does not merely apply to King David. Psalm 22 also speaks about another person. You see, there are parts of Psalm 22 that do not apply to King David at all, because some of the things mentioned in Psalm 22 never happened to King David. In fact, if you were here last Sunday, you know that we find the same thing going on in Psalm 16. Even though parts of Psalm 16 were about King David, other parts of Psalm 16 were about someone else. Simply put, Psalm 22 is a psalm of the Savior. In other words, Psalm 22 points us ahead to Jesus and his death and resurrection for us. You see, some of the psalms written by King David point ahead to Jesus because Scripture clearly teaches that the promised Savior would come from David's family line. Therefore, we should not be surprised at all to find that this Psalm of David points ahead to his descendant, who is also his Lord and Savior. In fact, the Jews in Jesus' day also believed that Psalm 22 was pointing ahead to the Messiah. The Jews in Jesus' day understood Psalm 22 to be teaching that the Messiah would be persecuted by unbelievers, but then later on the Messiah would be victorious and would reign over all creation forever. That's how they interpreted Psalm 22. However, if you read about the ministry of Jesus in the first four Gospels, you will find out that most of the Jews refused to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah, even though Jesus said that he was, and even though he did plenty of miracles to prove it. So you might wonder, why didn't they trust in Jesus? I'll give you two reasons. First, he was not the kind of Messiah that they wanted. You see, they deliberately ignored the Old Testament scriptures that taught that the main work of the Messiah would be to save his people from their sins. Instead, they wanted Jesus to save them from their earthly troubles, primarily by saving them from their Roman oppressors. That was the first thing they wanted Jesus to do for them. Now, a second reason that they would not trust in Jesus as the Messiah is that Jesus claimed to be more than a man. Jesus claimed to be the very Son of God, God in human flesh. Now, Now, even though the Old Testament scriptures clearly teach that the Messiah would be God himself, many Jews in Jesus' day simply refused to believe this. It was easier to believe that the Messiah would simply be an ordinary man. Now, why is that? Well, one possibility may be that a Messiah who is only a man can be threatened, he can be manipulated, he can be bribed. You see, they wanted the Messiah to do things their way. But you can't control the Messiah if he's God. So it's no wonder they wanted Jesus to be only a man, just like them. However, we dare not look down on those Jews in Jesus' day in a self-righteous manner, as though we are more spiritually pure than they were. The fact is, we're also guilty of wanting Jesus to be the kind of Savior that we want him to be. If we look around our culture today, we can find many people who do not believe that Jesus is God. Some believe he was a prophet. Others believe he was a political revolutionary. Some believe he was a philosopher. Still others think that he was insane. But the one thing they all have in common is this. They all believe that Jesus was only a man. They will say, yeah, Jesus died for his convictions, but then his body turned to dust in the ground just like everybody else. That's what many people today believe about Jesus. And what's really shocking is that you can find pastors in supposedly Christian church bodies that believe the same thing. However, even though many Christians like us still believe that Jesus was and is God in the flesh, even though we believe that, sometimes we can be guilty of wanting Jesus to be the kind of Savior that we want him to be. We want Jesus to fix our earthly problems. We want Jesus to fix our finances. We want Jesus to give us health. We want Jesus to protect us from the terrorists. We want Jesus to bless our plans and our dreams. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's sinful for us to go to Jesus with our earthly problems or needs. In fact, Jesus himself taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." But don't forget, the same Jesus also taught us to pray, "Forgive us our sins." You see, our greatest need is to have our sins forgiven. That's why the central focus of all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the central focus of all four is the death and resurrection of Jesus. But like the Jews in Jesus' day, we're often guilty of wanting Jesus to be a different kind of Savior. We'd rather ignore our sins, or better yet, we'd rather justify our sins while we trust in Jesus to give us what we want. So it's no wonder that people will turn their backs on God when God doesn't give them what they think he should give them. I mean, if we picture God as a genie in a lamp who's supposed to grant us all of our wishes, then no wonder we end up getting mad at God when he tells us to repent of our sin and trust in his Son who died for our sin. With that said, you can now understand why many Jews were more than happy to see Jesus nailed to the cross. Not only did they not believe that he was who he claimed to be, but even worse, Jesus had the gall to rebuke their sin and told them to trust in him for mercy and eternal life. That offended them. So when Jesus was on the cross, many unbelievers were more than happy to watch Jesus suffer and die. But then, Jesus did something amazing. While Jesus was on the cross, suffering more than we can possibly comprehend, he continued to show his love for others by preaching a sermon. That's right, Jesus preached a sermon when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, Jesus was quoting the first verse of Psalm 22. Do you see what's happening here? They are watching Jesus in unbelief, mocking him, and yet Jesus is still trying to reach out to them. He's trying to bring them to repentance and give them faith in him as their Savior. So when Jesus quotes the first verse of Psalm 22, he wants the Jews who are there to think about Psalm 22 and then apply it to what is going on before their very eyes. For example, one part of Psalm 22 reads, "A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." Now that never happened to King David. But it would happen to the Messiah. Psalm 22 also reads, "They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Again, that never happened to King David. But it would happen to the Messiah. In fact, if you recall, in our gospel reading we heard these words, "When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots." Of course, Psalm 22 then goes on to say that the suffering Messiah will be victorious over his enemies and will rule over all creation. So when Jesus quotes from Psalm 22, he was not only teaching that he was the suffering Savior, but even more, he was also teaching that the cross would not be the end. He would rise from the dead, just as he said. The question is, who would believe Jesus' sermon from the cross? His sermon based on Psalm 22. Sadly, many refused to believe Jesus' sermon. They just kept right on mocking him. In fact, evidence shows that Jesus must have preached on Psalm 22 before this, because they actually quote Psalm 22 in mockery of Jesus. Remember what they said in our gospel reading? They said, "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" If you have your bulletin insert handy, look carefully at Psalm 22, verse 8. Take a look at it, and then think about what they said to Jesus in mockery in our gospel reading, and you will see that they were paraphrasing Psalm 22, verse 8. It's almost as though they were thinking, "Hey, we heard Jesus preach on this psalm before. He thinks Psalm 22 is pointing to him. Well, we'll quote a verse of it in mockery of him just to show him we don't believe him." However, the good news is that Jesus' sermon did get through to some. In fact, we know of at least one person who was saved by that sermon. Who was that person? Was it the centurion at the end of our gospel reading who said, "Surely this was the Son of God"? Yeah, he was one guy that was touched, but I'm not thinking of him. I'm thinking of someone else. Who is the person I'm thinking of? Well, remember these words from our gospel reading. The robbers who were crucified with Jesus also heaped insults on him. Did you hear the word robbers in the plural? Both of the robbers crucified with Jesus were unbelievers, according to Matthew. Both of them mocked Jesus at first, according to Matthew. But we know that one of them was brought to repentance and he put his faith in Jesus. How do we know that? Because in Luke's gospel we read that one of the robbers said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And then Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So then, what changed the heart of that one robber? Well, we know that Jesus said several things while he was on that cross. And from today's gospel reading, we know that one of the things Jesus said was a quotation of Psalm 22. Now, after Jesus said that, I can imagine one of the Jewish robbers hearing that quotation from Psalm 22, and then suddenly the words of that psalm started going through his heart and mind, and the Holy Spirit then moved him to think the following: "Hey, he's the one. The guy next to me is the Messiah. Psalm 22 is being fulfilled before my very eyes. Oh, what a horrible sinner I am, mocking my own Lord and Savior. I wonder if it's too late for me. I wonder if Jesus would forgive me." Well, you know what happens next. The Holy Spirit moved the robber to repent and then to cry out to Jesus. And Jesus had mercy on him. Jesus gave him the hope of eternal life. In fact, Jesus was able to forgive that one robber because Jesus was dying for his sins that very moment. And Jesus could also give that robber the hope of eternal life because in a few short hours, Jesus himself would conquer death. Yes, my friends, Psalm 22 is the psalm of the Savior. Psalm 22 reminds us how much Jesus loves us, even though we're his enemies who deserve nothing but his wrath. Think about it. Even while Jesus was on the cross, even while he was suffering more than we can possibly comprehend, he wasn't thinking of himself. Instead, he loved us enough to preach us a sermon, and his pulpit was the cross. He quoted the first verse of Psalm 22 so that we could see how he was fulfilling Psalm 22 for us. So just like that one robber on the cross, God wants you to hear Jesus' sermon today. He wants you to believe his words. He wants you to call out to him. He wants you to see that he is your Lord and Savior, and that you get to live for him now and for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.